Hi there, guys, and welcome to this, the first podcast that I'm going to do to help you revise for your EdXLB exam coming in June that focuses on the Unit 1, which is Dynamic Planning. Hopefully, over the next few weeks, we'll put up ones about 3-5 minutes long that concentrate on one particular aspect of each unit, and then you can build up a collection of podcasts that you can use close to the time to help you revise. The first topic we're going to talk about today is the rest of Earth. So I'm going to go through the structure of the Earth, facts you need to know about the temperatures and the layers, and talk about the types of plate boundaries that cause the volcanoes and earthquakes around the world. So here we go. Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about now is the different layers of the Earth that make up the planet. And the first layer, if you want to think of the Earth as an onion, would be the layer we're standing on now, and it's called the crust. It varies in thickness from 4 to 5 kilometres up to 100 kilometres in some areas. It's also made of two different materials called continental crust, which is what the continents and countries sit on, and the oceanic crust, which the seas and oceans sit on. We'll talk about the differences of those a bit later on, because it comes into how plate boundaries work and what they create and things like that. The next layer beneath that is called the mantle. Also, you might hear it called the asthenosphere. The mantle is a thick magma material which moves around because of the heat generated by the core of the Earth. This movement's called the convection currents, and again, we'll go on to this a little bit later, how it helps move the plates around the planet. Then you've got below that the outer core, and below that again you've then got the inner core. Now, I need to know the differences between the two. The outer core is a liquid material, mostly made up of iron and nickel, and the inner core is a solid material. The reason this being the pressure of gravity and the weight above them has compacted the core so much, it's turned into a solid. The core is very important because it's the area where the Earth's heat is generated, and without this, the mantle would not have the heat for the convection currents to move the mantle. And without this mantle moving and the magma inside it moving, the plates above would not move either. So a good way to imagine convection currents is, like I showed in my lesson, you get a pan, have some peas in it and some cold water, and as you boil the water and the peas start to rise because of the heat in the water, move along the top of the pan, as they cool down they drop again. Because the magma is a thick, sticky liquid, this sticks to the bottom of the plates, and this slow movement slowly drags the plates along the surface, crashing into each other, sliding past each other or into each other. And that's what I'm going to move on to now. There's four different types of plate boundaries. I'm just going to talk through them briefly and explain what causes them and what tectonic events are caused at these boundaries. So the first boundary you need to know about is destructive plate boundaries. And this happens when an oceanic plate and a continental plate crash into each other, going towards each other. And an example of this would be the Pacific plate crashing into the South American plate down the borderlines of Chile. And these plate boundaries, as the name suggests, are just very destructive and cause both volcanoes and earthquakes. The reason they're so destructive is that you've got the two types of plate meeting. So you've got oceanic plate and continental plate meeting. And as they meet, the heavier, denser oceanic plate is forced underneath the lighter continental plate, and as this process goes on, the plate is subducted. You need to remember that word, subducted, in the subduction zone. It goes into the mantle, and the heat melts the plate, and this then rises up through the continental plate, this extra magma that's been created, and eventually will cause a volcano. The sliding past each other then also causes massive earthquakes as well. So in these areas where these plates meet, you get both major tectonic events that can tend to be very destructive. The next plate boundary is the constructive plate boundary. And is it an easy way to think of that is that the plates are constructing new land. So the plates are moving apart. An example of this is right down the Atlantic. So you've got the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. these are the areas where new land is made as magma reaches the surface. Now, most of the constructive plate boundaries are found under the oceans. However, there is occasions where this magma then rises and creates land, and Iceland is an example of that. And you can go to Iceland and see the Mid-Atlantic Ridge and the plate boundary and still see them moving apart. The next plate boundary is the collision plate boundary, and as the name suggests, this is like two plates crashing into each other. However, there's a slight difference between this and a structive plate boundary. In the structive plate boundary, you've got two different types of plates. You've got the oceanic and the continental crashing into each other. Here you tend to have just continental plates crashing into each other, and because the rocks are the same density, instead of one being subducted underneath the other, they crash into each other and push up. This upward motion then creates mountains, in particular fold mountains, and a good example of those is the Himalayas. And like I said in my lesson, there's evidence of this, as they've travelled up the Himalayas and have found evidence of sea creatures that were obviously once on the bottom of the sea, and this upward pushing of the land has made these mountains because of the collision plate boundary. The final plate boundary is the conservative plate boundary, and this is the plate boundary where two plates, instead of crashing into each other or moving apart, tend to slide along each other and create earthquakes, and really severe earthquakes. They don't tend to produce any volcanic activity. A good example of this is San Francisco and the San Andreas Fault in America. The reason they create these earthquakes is because the movement is not smooth over time. The plates tend to lock together because of their jagged edges, and over, it could be tens, hundreds, thousands of years, the pressure and energy builds up in these joints and connections between the two plates, and eventually when it gives away, the energy release is so powerful that it creates these intense earthquakes. Okay, so we've looked at the different plate boundaries and the layers of the Earth, and I'm going to move on to distribution of the earthquakes and volcanoes around the Earth. If you can get hold of our Purple EdExcel textbook, or just a distribution map on Google of earthquakes, you can see clearly the plate boundaries around the Earth. On page 15 in the textbook, you've got a map showing where volcanoes and earthquakes tend to are distributed, and they follow a distinct pattern. One key area you need to know that you can use in your exams is called the Pacific Ring of Fire, and this is where most of the world's volcanoes and earthquakes are located, and as the name suggests, it's surrounded around the Pacific Ocean, and more particularly along the border of the Pacific tectonic plate. Okay, so I've gone through that bit there. I'm going to finish this podcast now because we've got to 8 minutes. The next podcast I'm going to do is about the different types of volcanoes and earthquakes, and then move on to how we respond and predict earthquakes and volcanoes. Hopefully you found that useful, and see you again soon.